Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Brachot Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, about to take a look at the fourth Mishnah in this, the second parak. Ha'ummanin korin barosh ha'inan barosh nidbach. Workers may read Shema while they're up on top of a tree or on top of a scaffolding. Ma'she'enam shayin lasot kemat tefillah, but they may not do that for tefillah. Chatan patur mikriyat Shema la'ilu bishona. A chatan is exempt from Shema the first night of his marriage, va'ad motzei Shabbat, all the way up until motzei Shabbat, assuming he married on Wednesday night, as we'll see. Himlo asa ma'asef, he did not yet consummate, and the idea is that he is very preoccupied with that concern. But there's a story that seems to run counter to that. Rabban Gamliel himself got married, and on the night of his wedding, he read Shema. Amr lo tamidav, the student said, Matan benish chatan patur mikriyat Shema. You taught us that a chatan is exempt. Amram eni shomei alachem levatal emenei machut shamayim fidu shachat. I'm not going to abide you and not accept o machut shamayim for even 1 hour. Now, we'll see more about this. Tana Rabbanan. And this is the beginning of a series of three Mishnayot in which Rabbi Gamliel counters his own teachings. Tana Rabbanan, ha'omanin korin barosh ha'inan uv'rosh ha'nidbach. We have a braita that supports what our Mishnah says. Umit palalin barosh ha'zayit v'rosh ha'tena. They may pray while up on an olive tree or fig tree. Evidently, those are more stable areas. Ushar kol einot, any other tree, yordin l'matun palalin. They have to come down and daven. Uval ha'bayit, but the owner, the guy who's not the worker, ben kach uven kach, yordin l'matun palal, has to come down from any tree to say tefillah. Because he's scared when he's up there, so he's not paying attention to his tefillah. Rami there of Mari Barad Devat Shmuel LaRava. So Shmuel's grandson said to Rava, Tanan Omen in Korinu Inshallah and Rosh Hanibach, so Alma Lobai Kavanah, you see from our Mishnah that the Umanin can read up on top of a tree, so you see you don't need Kavanah for reading. Armenia, Korinu Shmatzach Shiach Chavin Liboshna Mashma Yisrael. From the two phrases, Hasketu Shema Yisrael, attend and hear Israel, the Shema Yisrael of ours. You see that you have to have Kavanah for Shema Yisrael. So Ishtik, Rava had no answer. So Rava then turned to him and said, do you have any answer? If the fellows on top of the tree are not working and reading, then it's okay. And the famous bright that we saw back in the first parak, Beitillo says that you can be lying down, you can be standing, you can be walking, you can be doing malacha while reading Shema. So lokasha parak rishon ha-parak sheni. For the first chapter, you need to not be doing malacha. So therefore, you need extra kavanah for the first pasuk, for perhaps the first three psukim. We saw that opinion in the Gemara. For the first parak, you need to be focused on the reading and not doing anything else. The other parakim, you could be doing work. Tana Rabbanan, ha'polim shayu osin melacha etza balabayit. So artisans are working in the balabayit's house. Korin kriyat shema mevarchim fanei le'achareha. They say shema, they say brachot before and after. Ve'ochlin pitan mevarchim fanei le'achareha. They eat their bread, and they say hamotzi, and they say berkat hamazon. Palin tefillah shel shmona esrei. Now that's not the sequence. Obviously they say shema, and then shmona esrei, and then the food. We'll see why the food is thrown in. They say regular tefillah, mal ein yodin lefnei ha'teva. They don't have somebody lead the tefillah. Ein osin kapem. They also don't do birchat kohanim because those take time away from the work. Hai v'atanya mein shmon esrei. We have another brighter that is the same version but says they say the abbreviated shmon esrei. Hashesh l'akash from Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua. That's the machlok from Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua that we'll see in the fourth parak about whether or not every person should say a full shmon esrei or an abbreviated. Rabbi Yeshua, my area Paul Limit. If it's Rabbi Yeshua, then why are you mentioning workers? I feel called Adam Nami. That's true about everybody. It's both Rabban Gamliel. Below Kasha, Kanba Osin Mischaran. If they're working for money, Kanba Osin Misudatan. But if they're working for their food, so if they're working for Sachar, for regular payment, then they really do have to abbreviate it. And therefore, they should say the abbreviated form. If they're doing it for their food, then they could say the longer version. Ratanya, Hapolim Shayu, this is support. Hapolim Shayu Simalachaitz of Balabayit, if Paulim are working in the Balabayit's house, like people laying tiles or building a fence. Korin Kriyachman Paulim, they say full Kshvan Tfilah, Vachlin Pitan Vein Vachilim Fanah, they don't say Hamotzi. Vachin Lacharash Taim, they say two brachot afterwards, not three, for Brachad Amazon. Ketzad, Bracha Rishona Ketikuna, they say the first full bracha. Shnia Potech Brachat Aretz, they call Lin Bonei Mishalayim Brachat Aretz. The second one, they combine bracha 2 and 3. Now, B'medvar Mamurim, when is this true? B'osim Mischaran. This is if they're working for pay for an hour, for a per hour rate, in which case every minute belongs to the Balabait. Osim Misuratan, if they're working and getting paid in food, Hashem Balabait may say, if the Balabait was eating with them, so obviously he's mochel them, Rachin Ketikuna, then they say a full Birchat Hamazon. So we see this distinction is hardwired into the Braita. Chatan Patur Mikriyat Shema. So we said that a Chatan doesn't need to read. We already saw this on Yud Aleph. When you're sitting in your house, prat lo seik b'mitzvah. As opposed to if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're exempt from Shema. Uvelech t'chava derech, prat l'chatan. That exempts a chatan. Mikanamro koneset abtulah patur et almanah chayav. And this, we saw this whole piece earlier on Yud Aleph. So if somebody marries a betulah who's never been married before, he's patur, but an almanah who's already married, she was a widow, then he's chayav. My mash, my, where'd you get that from? Amar papa ki derech, because it's like the word derech. Lech t'chava derech. Ma derech reshut. The derech is somewhere you go on your own, because you chose to. Fachanami reshut. So similarly, something gets reshut. As opposed to betulah, where there's a mitzvah, be'ilah, and you got your mind occupied by the concerns of how that's going to work. Mi lo askin to cause the dvar mitzvah, filo achim rachman alikri. Isn't the guy even walking towards to do a mitzvah, and the Torah still says you have to read? Then it would have said, Belechet uveshevet. My belechtecha, why did it say, when you walk on your way? Only when you're going on your way, but if you're going for God, then you're exempt. So, if that's the case, then why mention marrying a betulah, even marrying an almanah? That's a mitzvah. The answer is hachatarid vachalatarid. There's two components. One is that you're involved in a mitzvah. The second is the mitzvah that occupies you. There's nothing that particularly occupies your thinking when you're about to consummate with an almanah. So imshum tirda filu tavas finotav yamnami. So now we're flipping the other side and saying if it's all about preoccupation, then even if your cargo ship went down in the water, then you're concerned about that. You should be patur. And that's not the case. That an avel who's certainly preoccupied is exempt from all mitzvot in the Torah except for tefillin. Because tefillin are called pe'er, and a Yechezkel was told to behave unlike other mourners when his wife died, and was told pe'er chavosh alecha, put your glory on your head. But others don't. So when the novel is sad, he's sad, but it's his own sadness. There's no mitzvah of it. But the concern and the preoccupation that a man has before he's about to have biyah with his wife, who's a betulah, is an issue of mitzvah, and it's an issue that certainly is preoccupation. Okay, the next Mishnah. Again, Rabbi Gamliel took a bath the night after his wife died and was buried. Now it's not a question of him behaving in a supererogatory way, but the opposite, violating the norms. He said, Rebbe, you taught us that an avel is not allowed to bathe. I'm not like everybody else. I'm an istinis, meaning I'm very dainty or fastidious. This is the third of the three. When Tavi, his non-Jewish slave, died, he allowed people to come and comfort him. You taught us, Rebbe, that you don't accept comfort, consolation for the loss of Avadim. He's not like other slaves. He was a good slave. We learned about him in Sukkah and several other places. Now, the parak ends with the following last Mishnah. So we now come to the conclusion, at least as far as the first act goes, everybody can behave like Rabbi Gamliel. If you want to read Shema the first night, go ahead. Shem Gamliel Omer, lo kol atzadi tolta Hashem itosh. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, not everybody who wants to assume the mantle of greatness may do so. And perhaps he's defending the distinct position that his father held. Okay, we're going to see a few short pieces here in the Gemara, and then we'll leave the end of the parak for the next podcast. My Tam Rabbi Gamliel, why did Rabbi Gamliel bathe that night? Because he held that even though the day of burial, which is the day of death, is Avelut Oraita, nighttime is Durabanan. Dichtiv Achrita Ki Yomar. And Amos says her end is a bitter day. So daytime is d'oraita. Komisnis lo gazer rabbanan. The rabbanan did not make a gzeira of not bathing during their time of avilut that applies to an istinis. If a slave dies, we don't have the shura at the burial that people comfort. And the berchat avilim, which we no longer say, is not said for them. And comfort. So Rabbi Eliezer had a shifcha. She died. His students came in to comfort him. Kevan Shiraotam Alala Aliyah. He saw them, he went up to the loft. Valuacharav, they followed him. He was trying to get away from them. Nichnasla in Pilin, he went into a particular hall, Nichasu Acharav. Chasa Traklin went to another hall, Nichasu Acharav. They kept following. Elam Kimduma Anisha, Tem Nichvim Poshrim, I thought you'd at least get burned up by lukewarm water. Shavia Tem Nichvim Afilu Bachame Chamin, you're not even burned up by hot water. Here you're following me into a private room, and you don't get that. I don't want to listen to you. And he repeated the brayta we just saw. So what do you say to somebody who just had a slave die? Just like if they had an animal die. God should fill in your missing thing. Like missing property. So you say the same thing for a slave or a slave girl. Tanya Idach, Avadim Ushvachot Ein Maspidin Ale Otan. We do not eulogize them. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Eved Kasherhu, if he was a proper Eved, Omrim Alav, Hoy Ish Tov Neman V'Nenemi Gio. We say he was a good man, he was a trustworthy man, and he betted from his own work. So Amrulam Ken Ma'anach Lidik Sharim, so they said, so what have you left for a good guy, for regular guys? Okay, one last piece about this. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein Korin Avot Ela Lishlosha. When we talk about the avot, we only mean Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, nobody else. V'en korin imahot el arba. When we talk about the imahot, that refers to the four mothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, nobody else. Avot my Thomas. So why do we say that the avot are only those three? Hashem d'loy adinim, Reuven katinim, and Shimon katinim. It's because we don't really know that Reuven's our father, or that Zvulun's our father, because we don't know what shevet we're from. So Yachim Mahot Nami, we have the same problem. We can't call Leah or Rachel ima because we might be from the other one. Le'adim Rachel Katina, Mila'el Katina, or from Bilhah Zilpah for that matter. Ela ad hacha chashivi tfeilo chashivi. The answer is that they were only significant until that point. Afterwards, they weren't as significant. It's a title of honor. By the way, it's a title of honor that was used in the times of the Mishnah. And Tanya Idach. Avadim, parenthetically, the term Abba was used in the early church also as a term of honor, which is why the head of a monastery was called an abbot. And oddly enough, because they didn't really understand, the head of a convent was called later an abbess. And an abbey, it comes from the same word, all from Abba. Tanya Idach, Avadim Shvachot En Korin Otam Abba Ploni V'Ima Plonit. So we do not call Avadim Abba and Ima, because that's why this is here, because they are not accorded that kavod. V'shel Rabbi Gamliel, back to Rabbi Gamliel's house, Hayu Korin Otam Abba Ploni V'Ima Plonit. So my silly story, you showing a case to challenge the ruling. They were important people, so they were given that title. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick it up with the final podcast on this parak with a whole series of some very familiar adages of the Chachamim, including parts of their own tefillah they would add in. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.